The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, you expect changes, don't you, when an organization like Planned Parenthood takes on a new leader? And you expect changes when midterm elections change the political atmosphere ever so slightly in Washington, D.C. But do you expect Planned Parenthood from going about for, well, years trying to assure the American public that abortion is not a big part of what they do, 3% of their business, not really that important, to what it is today, the current and new president of Planned Parenthood saying that abortion is our core mission? That's a change. Indeed, is it a messaging problem? Joining us to talk about Planned Parenthood's president emphasizing abortion, Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Planned Parenthood President Furious at Media for Underplaying Abortions. Joy, welcome back.
Thank you.
Does Planned Parenthood just have a messaging problem? Did the memo not make the rounds sufficiently here?
Oh, that can't possibly be the case, because over the past couple of years, you know, we've seen all the media outlets basically carry, you know, water for Planned Parenthood, promoting their narrative that they're so crucial to women's health all across the country. You know, that abortions are a very small part of what they overall do, so on and so forth. So that, I mean, that narrative is repeated over and over again. I think what really accounts for the shift is the fact that we have a different power dynamic in Congress right now. Democrats now control the House, and they are a political safe bet for Planned Parenthood, so they can be more open about their true intentions and business model.
So just kind of outline the shift in the message here, and then we'll get into a little more detail about those two things that you mentioned, that they no longer fear the cutoff of funding and that the media has to figure out how to play this one. How dramatic has the shift been in the message here with the new president?
I think it's really very strong. I mean, Cecile Richards was the former president of Planned Parenthood, and I believe that the new president, Leanna Wen, came in at the fourth quarter of last year, maybe, you know, third quarter. But anyway, so she would, of course, went on a media tour after that, appearing, you know, we saw her in all these television shows, daytime talk shows, as well as news programs, you know, having write-ups in all the major newspapers, profiles of her. And, I mean, all of them were very, very soft, puffy profile pieces, talking about these heartwarming stories, painting her as a compassionate mother, as a doctor, as, you know, all these wonderful, you know, who loves to bake apple pie and give cuddly teddy bears to children. I'm just making up that those last two, but, you know, that's basically the image, you know, that was given of her, because there's this kind of a two-pronged messaging effort going on with abortion, especially with Planned Parenthood. Most Americans do not know that Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the United States. So that's something I think folks like me, who are very pro-life, tend to forget. But most Americans see them actually as, you know, a women's health provider. So their messaging is meant to maintain that image, because, you know, if Americans really knew what Planned Parenthood was all about, they wouldn't really have, you know, be that supportive of them as an institution.
So why not maintain the previous course? It seems the safest thing to do. Of course, the funding's safe at least for the next 2 years, as long as the House of Representatives will be unable to defund Planned Parenthood. But why now suddenly say that abortion is our core mission?
Well, I actually think what Planned Parenthood's president is doing is making sure that despite all of these fuzzy profiles that are being sent out to the hoi polloi, you and me out in flyover country over here, the normal people who vote and don't pay that much attention to politics, she put out this messaging on Twitter, which is, you know, I mean, studies have shown that it's really, you know, kind of elite, particularly media journalism, bubble, coastal city people who are hanging around on Twitter. And so I think she, you know, basically is saying to her donors, don't worry, You know, even though you're seeing all these things in these publications, you read the Washington Post, the New York Times, you know, on television, and you know, MSNBC, all of that. You know, so even though we're talking about how we, you know, actually want to do healthcare for women, she said straight up, our core mission is providing, protecting, and expanding access to abortion and reproductive health care, which is another euphemism that they use for abortion. So I really think this is basically, don't screw up my donor pitch, you know, because all the big names and the big money behind Planned Parenthood, they are mission critical. They know what Planned Parenthood is for, and it really is for abortion.
So the messaging problem, if there is one here, is that they would like to maintain the illusion for the American public, who is subsidizing a lot of what they do, that abortion is only 3% of their business, but they need to maintain to their major donors the emphasis that abortion is still front burner for Planned Parenthood.
That's right. And the second thing that I think is going on here is that, I mean, I think Leanna Wen might also be taunting those of us on the pro-life side. Basically, we can go in front of Congress. My predecessor can go there and be hauled in front of them for, you know, basically a political theater questioning about videos showing Planned Parenthood, you know, trigger warning for anybody with kids in the car, showing, you know, Planned Parenthood obtaining and selling and dividing up like little pieces of chopped liver, the parts of human beings. So that can happen, you know, be in Congress on national television, be investigated, you know, by, you know, federal agencies. And, you know, we didn't lose a thing. You know, Planned Parenthood is still in business. They didn't lose a dime of their federal funding. And basically, you know, so, I mean, I think she's basically saying we're untouchable, folks, doing a victory lap right now.
And what's the real truth about Planned Parenthood? Is it only 3% of their business, or is it their core mission?
Oh, the latter is definitely true. I mean, the 3%, you know, figure has something that Planned Parenthood put out in a desperate attempt, you know, when it was under fire by Congress temporarily, I guess theatrically, not actually effectively, you know, just to try to underplay the fact that abortion is a major, you know, I think the estimates, if I'm correct, range from a third to a half of their income comes from abortions. You know, so while, you know, they kind of run up the numbers on all the other things, if they just say, oh, people come in for A, B, and C, you know, and we get a lot of A's, but it's a very, you know, low cost, high volume thing. But abortions are kind of, I think it's Abby Johnson, who's a former Planned Parenthood clinic director, who basically says abortions are their marquee product. It's their moneymaker. It's what they're trying to increase, because the margins, the profit. I hate talking about this because, you know, we're talking about the lives of human beings here. the profit margins on human beings' lives are much higher than they are for birth control, because of other complicated factors. So basically, abortion is every single time Planned Parenthood does an abortion, they make a lot more money off of it than they do off of doing almost anything else, which is why they focus on it.
What is the media to do? Because as you have said, they've spent decades now carrying Planned Parenthood's water on the one message, and now they're being asked to pivot.
Well, I actually don't think that this presents any problem for them because, you know, the vast majority of people who are in leadership positions in the media are pro-abortion. They're really wildly out of step with average Americans on this. Most Americans are at least abortion moderates. You know, but most folks in the media are abortion extremist supporters. So, you know, the president of Planned Parenthood, you know, calling them out on Twitter one time isn't going to make them stop putting out pro-abortion stories. You know, they're not going to be dissuaded by that because they're already ideologically in line with Planned Parenthood. They think of it as a good organization. They think of abortion as a public service. And publications are used to getting flack for everything all the time. And I think this is one that's likely just to glance, you know, right off their backs and go nowhere. And it's going to be business as usual in the typical media afterwards.
Has anything really changed? We know that Cecile Richards was more combative than I think Leanna Wen, at least in terms of kind of the rhetoric, than Leanna Wen was. And she was also more political. Leanna Wen comes kind of out of the medical community. But has anything really changed with respect to the leadership of Planned Parenthood?
Oh, no, it's very clear that, you know, the face has changed, but the ideology and the drive and the intentions is all exactly the same. I mean, it's a national disgrace that an organization like Planned Parenthood is allowed to continue operating. It's embarrassing. It's a human rights atrocity. And we have, you know, women who are the face of atrocities, you know, wearing pantsuits and going on all of our national, you know, on the circuit of all of our most marquee, you know, national public television shows and pretending, you know, like they're just another person out there giving skincare tips. It's absurd and it's embarrassing. And I'll pray that God will have mercy on our country for, you know, the fact that we continue to allow this and pretend that it's trivial when it's not.
What happens in 2 or 4 years when the balance of power in the House may shift back in favor of a pro-life majority, at least a Republican majority? They're not synonymous things. And the leadership of Planned Parenthood once again needs to worry about whether or not that $500 million will be coming their way next year.
Well, I wish I could say otherwise, but I mean, given the track record of the Republican Congress, I mean, in the past 2 years until just a couple of weeks ago, there was Republican control of the House and the Senate and the presidency for the first time in decades. It's very, very rare, especially for Republicans, even more rare for Republicans than Democrats to have that kind of power. And essentially, Republicans squandered it, especially on this. I mean, I consider abortion perhaps the top human rights issue in America right now. So Republicans, of course, they constantly come to us and, you know, say we are the party of pro-life. They're going to show up at the March for Life in a week and a half. You know, plenty of people, you know, speaking to them. I mean, but, you know, we keep getting speeches from Republicans and I'm still waiting for action. I'm obviously speaking in a broad brush, and I'm particularly speaking about the congressional leadership right now. There's obviously leaders in states such as my own, Indiana, who have actually taken measurable steps. The President Trump has also done some of the things that he's actually able to do as president without changing any of the laws, because, of course, that requires Congress. But it's been really, really embarrassing over the past two years to see Republicans basically throw away an opportunity to take a stand for, you know, innocent human life. They've been promising us for decades that this is something that they stand for as a party. It's in their political platform and has been for a very long time. And they did nothing about that. They can't even make me and you, Todd, and our listeners pay for mothers, you know, to kill their own children inside their wombs. And so it's appalling. I'm obviously really mad. It's just embarrassing. If you can't, you know, I would rather have, you know, protections for human life or not have to pay for the murder of children than have my taxes reduced. So when Republicans get up there and tell me that I should be so happy that they reduced my taxes, I mean, well, that's a great thing. But, you know, they should have had much better priorities.
The first thing that the new House did after it was officially set was to, in effect, attempt to gut the Mexico City policy, which has to do with funding the promotion of abortion internationally. What does that tell you about the new Congress's priority when it comes to abortion?
Well, I mean, it says exactly what, you know, Leanna Wen is going around assuming, which is that there is no danger to Planned Parenthood or any, even of the most extreme abortion policy, so long as Democrats are in power. And again, I tend to be a conservative person, but I want Democrats to support life because I think it is a completely nonpartisan issue. It's a human rights issue. So the fact that, you know, and I know actually, I mean, I have a very wide input from people all across the country from my job at the Federalist because I handle incoming mail and submissions. I talk to lots of people every single day. And I know there are lots and lots of Democrats who are really upset with their party about this. But Democrats have consistently in the past couple of years completely shut down any diversity of idea about human life, about the issues of abortion, even increasingly euthanasia within their party. And so it appears that, you know, very soon people who are serious about their pro-life convictions are increasingly having difficulty squaring that with remaining in the Democratic Party. And I think that's a sad thing. I think that we can totally disagree about the welfare state, about spending, about, you know, the New Deal, all of that stuff, you know, is completely different in my mind than the category of innocent human life that deserves protection from the moment of conception. And that should be a fundamental bedrock thing that people of all political ideas and religious and moral backgrounds should be able to agree on. So the fact that one of our political parties can't even get to that point when many in their base, you know, are already there, it's also shocking and it's atrocious.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Planned Parenthood President Furious at Media for Underplaying Abortions. You can read it and purchase The Education Invasion at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about being and remaining Lutheran. We'll get Scott Klusendorf's reaction to the video, Kids Meet Someone Who's Had an Abortion, and we'll discuss the Cappadocian Fathers with Pastor Will Whedon. Oh, it's also our weekly media coverage of religion feature with syndicated columnist Terry Mattingly. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Solway class, today your writing prompt is, what is Lutheran about classical education?
Hey, what does this mean?
I think it's that Aristotle was a Lutheran.
I thought it was that Lutheran classical was a palindrome.
What's a palindrome?
It's like a Persian castle with a retractable roof.
Life is confusing enough without crowdsourcing your questions. Get straight answers at an open house on Lutheran classical education at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, on January 13 at 1 o'clock p.m. Pastor Robert Paul of Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas, will speak on the question, what is Lutheran about classical education?
Wait, it was Virgil who was a Lutheran.
Come on out to St. Paul Lutheran in Hamel, Illinois on January 13 at 1 o'clock p.m. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org.